You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Team.
Yes, the Urban Sports Team. We're back. We're airing live from Urban Sports Team headquarters. You all don't know where that's at. You don't need to know where it's at. Just know it resides in my place. And I'm not giving y'all my address because that's just too much work. And y'all don't need all y'all knocking at my door saying, well, Wally this, Wally that, this, that, the other. Because you know folks tend to hate on me because they don't think the same way I think. Because I think the right way. The right way is always the Wally way. Oh, here you go. My homeboy's here, Will T. I was scared to have to do the show with myself for a hot second, man.
Nah, why you think that?
Nah, I
told
just weird.
Last week
I know you didn't, dude. I trust you, man. Life is a beast. All right, it's life. It's not the Will T. Will T. Look, dude. I trust you, dude. Is that the right outline? Was that on the couch?
I think this. Yeah, this.
That's the right one. Okay. Yeah, man. It's a blessing. It's always a blessing to do the show with my man Will T. All right, Will T. How's it been, man?
Life's great, man.
It's good.
Can't complain.
I know, man. I got fried on, like, I can say fried. I couldn't say what I want to. I got fried on Sunday. Oh, yeah. I went to see one of my homegirl. She works out there in Baltimore, met at a Rundle Mills, the Fridays over there, and like drinks galore because Fridays is cheap.
Right. True.
It's cheap. They got like Long Island specials for days.
Yeah, it's like $5.
Yes. Like, yeah. $3, $5. This is like the life. And then you have endless appetizers for like $10.
Oh, I ain't know about the endless appetizers.
Yeah, endless, son. It's like heaven. It's heaven. But what's going on, man? Everything good?
Everything's great, man. I'm stupendous.
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 I love that word. Man. Marvelous, stupendous, man. Any new music you've been listening to lately, man? You supposed to put me on stuff, man. You know, I'm a download beast, but you're like better than me, so, you know.
I pay for my music. I mean, I don't know.
No,
what
no.
You're
I'm talking about that. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I take that back. But I meant by downloading. I meant like.
You mean downloading from iTunes?
Yes, exactly. See, why people think folks are automatically dirty? Like, I'm Nigerian, so you think automatically I'm thinking about something corrupt?
No, I'm just making it clear that I download my music from iTunes.
Yeah, he does.
I pay every week.
He sure does.
Yep, I sure do.
You know what I mean? He sure does. Anyway, our phone line's open. The number is 240-478-3140. Also, you listen to the Urban Sports. They were part of the BDSIR network as well. Yeah, I got put on to that, man. That's another network to put our stuff on.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's not like Eyes, not like Eyes Radio, though.
Okay.
They ain't going to try and, you know, take away the brand. You know how that is.
No comment.
My man. Hey, you can, and also you can get some of the other content on the BDSIR network at www.bdsirnetwork.com.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Okay, man. Wimbledon. Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic won the championship during the weekend from Wimbledon. First off, did you see Wimbledon? Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I watched the championship.
Okay, what was your thought process of it?
Serena's dominant.
Dominant.
Didn't.
You know what? Oh, I'm sorry. Now we're recording. We've been recording, but okay, we weren't live. Yeah. We're sorry.
Djokovic, people. I can't say I watched in detail. You know, I was one of those things. I had it on. I was doing stuff and also paying attention to it, you know, in and out.
Mm-hmm.
As I've always said, I'm not a huge tennis fan, but I can appreciate when I see someone that's at the top of their game performing in a dominant fashion, as Serena did. Djokovic, you know, Djokovic looked pretty good. I'm not going to sit here and say I was an expert. I mean, after the rain out, I pretty much turned it. I tuned out.
Got you. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, I'll talk about that. First, again, sorry for the technical difficulty. We are back on. You can hear us now. Listen to the Urban Sports thing. Again, our phone lines are open. Numbers 240-478-3140. Yeah, I watched Wimbledon. First off, it's Serena Williams. Serena Williams has to be by far the most dominant female athlete in all the sports, period, ever. I think we have to start looking at her in terms of iconish levels.
Yeah, I said last week, I think that when she wins the U.S. Open, right, September.
Yeah, she'll have the complete Grand Slam.
The complete Grand Slam. And if she does complete the complete Grand Slam, I think we have to start having a discussion about her being the greatest female athlete ever.
Yeah, I totally agree. But she was, again, there's nobody in her right now that can see her in a tennis game. A lot of people mentioned Sharapova, but in the grand scheme of things, there's nobody in current tennis that can see her. But I don't want to say that, like, she's doing this against lesser competition, because when she first started in the game, she had there was a bunch of female tennis players who were playing at a high level, and she still went through them, and she's lasted the longest. That's how I look at it. It's individual who lasted the longest. She's still consistently dominating the game. You have Martina Hingis back then, who was the best female tennis player at that time, and Serena's she's lasted longer than her as well. Now, in terms of Novak Djokovic, this guy is amazing to me. His conditioning, the way he runs everything down, the angles that he can hit winners and whatnot. This guy right now is the best tennis player in the game. Just to beat a Roger Federer who's playing pretty much his best tennis in a while, and Djokovic beat a very game Roger Federer, a guy who many thought was going to lose to Andy Murray in the semis. So when I look at Djokovic right now, he's the best in the game. Federer shouldn't be ashamed of the performance he put out. He just played a better opponent in Novak Djokovic. In terms of where I would rank Djokovic in all time, I would rank him in terms of men's all time tennis players. I would rank him at 5. I think you can put Pete Sampras, Roger Federer, Roger Federer, Nadal, I guess Borg, and also then you would put Novak Djokovic in that list. But again, he already has nine Grand Slams. Pete Sampras, I believe Federer has 17. I would have Federer. I'll take that back. I would have Federer in number one. I would have Federer number one. Nadal 2, Sampras 3, Borg 4, and Djokovic at 5. But when I look at Serena Williams, I think Serena Williams, and it's not just the best female tennis player ever. She's the best tennis player ever at this point in time to me. I know we'd all like to go to gender and whatnot when it comes to ranking men's and female tennis, but with what she's doing in the field, and again, how long she's lasted, again, you got to understand she's 33 years old. To be doing it at this age and to dominate her sport, it's amazing. Pete Sampras fizzled out at the age of like 30. Look what's going on with Roger Federer. He's not old, but he is now the elder statesman of men's tennis. So again, Serena Williams should be appreciated for what she's done in the female tennis game. But let's go down to pregame. Let's go to the Beltway series that happened this weekend in baseball. The Nationals defeat the Orioles in 2 out of 3 in Camden Yards.
Yeah, actually, Sunday I actually got a chance to go to Camden Yards.
You really?
Yeah, it's a great place. Scherzer,
it's a great place.
Put on that great performance that he put on, 9 2/3, almost a complete game.
Almost, yeah.
He gave up his only 2 runs. He gave up with 2 solo home runs to Adam Jones.
Yes, former friend of the show.
To me, yeah. even though this prevented Scherzer from pitching in tonight's All-Star game, I do think that in the long run, this is the best decision for the Nationals as a franchise, and also for Scherzer. Scherzer, he's been almost dominant during the first half of the season.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Even though, you have Zach Greinke, who has an ERA, I think, of 1.5 so far.
Oh, he's been killing.
Yeah, Zach Greinke's been killing it. But Scherzer, if you think about the 5 losses, most of those were in the beginning of the year when he wasn't getting a lot of run support, getting a lot of hit, run support offensively. So it was a great top. Camden Yards is a great ballpark. Baltimore is a city I love. And top it off, I got to see a great performance from Max Scherzer. So I was glad about that. And overall, Nats won the series 2-3 in Baltimore. So that's like the first time since 2011.
Yeah, for a while.
They've done that.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your experience in Camden Yards. I love that ballpark. I do.
I love it. It's not concrete and, brick. Well, it is brick, but it's not concrete and metal. It's real relaxed. Gives you like a rustic feel. It's right in the middle of downtown by the harbor in Baltimore. One of the great – I haven't been to a lot of ballparks. I've only been to 3, really. 3 ballparks. So, a lot of people who are aficionados of baseball stadium say this is one of the great stadiums.
It really is.
In the MLB. So, it was cool to go there Sunday and watch the game and relax. Chill.
How was parking for you? Parking was an issue for me, trying to find a parking garage.
Parking wasn't bad for me.
Come on and go again. I'm trying to figure out. I went there last summer. It was the first time in like, since I was like 13, 12. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to like know like where to park at next. Cause I want to go this summer, but I'm trying to figure out where to park at.
We can talk off.
Talk off it.
Off air about that.
All right, cool, cool. That's cool. That's cool. All right. So for me, like the series annoyed me. The Orioles, this is a good opportunity to beat up on the Nationals. You look at it, the Nationals have a bunch of injuries, a lot of their main players didn't play in this series. And there's an opportunity for the Orioles to, to win the series and also try to, you know, keep a flight with the, New York Yankees, who right now are number one AL East. So, I was disappointed in this series. The Chen pitched well in game three against Scherzer. He just had that one bad inning, and Scherzer right from there on was on. He's got a lot of arrogance to me, a lot of moxie, you know, attitude when he pitches. Not arrogance,
but it's professional confidence. Yeah. I would say that professional confidence and command.
Because if I was a hitter going against him, and the way after he struck me out, and just the way he was bouncing off the mound,
yeah, walking around,
yeah, I would be real salty about that. Or the Orioles were cool. I mean, I'm sure they were cool with it.
I mean, I'm sure they don't take it as him trying to show. I know they've studied him enough to know that he's not trying to show anyone up. That's just how he is. That's mm-hmm. how he gets himself amped up.
Yeah, who was me though? If I was a baseball player and the dude did that to me, I would do the Babe Ruth thing. I would point at him and say, "That's going to be a home run." Regardless of whatever happened, but I would do that. That I would do. I would try to show him up in a way. But anyway, but he pitched well though. He really did. He pitched well. Adam Jones is the only guy who seems to hit him in the lineup. But he has a good career track record against Max Scherzer. But again, Max Scherzer was on his game. If it was for Zach Greinke, he would be my Cy Young. Zach Greinke is just like having nothing but shutouts of late. But the thing with Scherzer, he just seems more dominant though. At the same time, obviously having a no hitter in his belt, and then a one hitter, then a no hitter. So having that under his belt, he looks more dominant. But Zach Greinke has been like lights out in his own route, in his own way, because he just hasn't given up runs. The home run derby was last night. Todd Frazier won it. Did you get a chance to watch any of it?
No, I don't watch any of it for one specific reason, and that reason is Chris Berman.
So you're on that fan club of disliking Chris Berman as well?
I don't dislike Chris Berman. It's just the antics.
Oh, okay.
That I don't really. It gets annoying after a certain time. I've actually been turned off from watching the home run
derby
for a while now. Mm-hmm. But I do like what they instituted. I like putting the time on it, because before, it was too long. Mm-hmm. It was too long. It was too slow. But now, you know, putting it in with 4 minutes, that, you know, makes them focus more, makes them better cardiovascular condition. So it is definitely, from what I hear, it was more entertaining. But I didn't watch it.
Oh, it was great, man. It really was. It was the best home run contest I've seen probably since Josh Hamilton. But really, truth be told, it was probably the best home run contest I've seen, period. The fact that you can have a last second home run win that match for you. It happened a bunch of times. Prince Fielder looked like he was going to win. Then you had, I believe he went against, I want to say he went against Todd Frazier. Yeah, Todd Frazier went against Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier went on a streak and just kept in home run after home run. He's the hometown player. It's in his ballpark that he plays for Cincinnati Reds. So it was amazing. He put on a show. He really put on a show. Him, Peterson, the young outfielder for the Dodgers, had a good showing as well. Manny Machado from the Baltimore Orioles had a good showing. He had 12, and then Peterson knocked him out because he went on a hot streak, and he just dominated the competition in the first round. There was no way, in my opinion, after watching his first five at bats, I was like, Machado's gonna lose this one. Machado had 12. He put up 12 homers, which is a good amount if you watch past home run contests.
Yeah, especially if you add on top of that, it was in a 4 minute.
Yeah, think about spurt. Exactly. So it was. It definitely. It had that. You know, as a kid, you have that 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That whole little thing, like for the last second shot, or you know, you envision yourself being a quarterback, or with the receiver catching that game winning touchdown, a quarterback throwing that game winning touchdown. Here it was like you get the opportunity to hit the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but in a baseball atmosphere. So he hit the 5-4-3-2-1 because literally you had to wait. So say an individual was down, like it was a tie. They were tied at 11 home runs, right? So he hit his within 10 seconds, right? He hits the ball. And say he hits the ball to the outfield. It's not a home run. It's in the air, right? Time is ticking down. So as soon as the ball touches the ground, then the pitcher's allowed to pitch. He's allowed to throw the pitch. So you had one at two seconds. He threw the pitch. Boom, home run, wins the game. You know what I mean? So it was pretty cool in that aspect. So I like the new format. I wasn't a believer in the new format initially. I didn't like it. But actually after watching it and seeing how it was implemented and just, you know, seeing how they gave up bonus time and stuff of that nature, I became real impressed with the whole format. So big ups to MLB with the home run derby. It was actually a good competition. Reminds me of like a poor man Vince Carter dunk contest.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it was that kind of excitement. Let's go to today's All-Star game. We have represented all together 6 Orioles and Nats Nationals in this game. Which player will represent or will show out in this game?
The easy answer would be Bryce Harper.
Of course, yeah.
but I'm going to go with Manny Machado.
Okay.
I think Machado, you know, one of the bright young stars in the game, one of the guys that's under 25 that's going to keep this game progressing, moving forward. And ultimately, he'll be a guy who I have a large share of fan, like Ray would say, a cult-like following.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Manny Machado.
I am going to go with, Manny Machado, obviously folks would think I would pick him because I'm an Orioles fan, but I'm going to go with Bryce Harper. I think everything's lined up for Bryce Harper, for it to be Bryce Harper's coming out party. I know he's already come out basically saying, okay, I own this league, but this is it. This is when he can actually say, you know what? You all been talking about Mike Trout as the best baseball player. This season, I look like the MVP. I'm gonna now put doubt into your mind saying that I am the best baseball player in baseball. I'm that guy.
I mean, I can't say it just off of one half of a season.
Yeah, I can't.
This is definitely – you're right. It's all set up if you just look like the progression of his career and the progression of this season. It's all set up for him to, like, this can be like that launching point.
Of course,
where,
yeah.
Where the national, you know, even the casual fans of baseball, because there's not, if you're a sports fan, there's nothing to watch tonight. Well, no, it's summer league basketball,
which we'll talk about.
Summer league basketball, but from a national perspective, because it's on Fox, you know, for everyone to be watching and, you know, take him to the next level.
This is the time, and with his moxie too, don't forget, this is the same guy that said that, yeah, we're going to the World Series. You know what I mean? Like, he aims to be the best. When he hits a home run, he does the hair toss. He had, like, this is all tailored for him to say, okay, well, he's showing it, he's acting it, and not the biggest stage, but on one of the biggest stages, because it's the All-Star game, like you say, on national TV, on Fox, this is the opportunity now to show the whole world that I'm the best of the best. I'm the best of my peers.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, again, I think just because of his confidence and what he's shown in the past, I think this is his time. I think he will definitely show out and be the best player in the All-Star game. So, out of all the players, I mean, you speak for Nationals. I'll let you speak for the Nationals, speak for the Orioles. Which National or Oriole, which National, I ask you the question, which National who is not an All-Star this season will be an All-Star next season?
That's easy. The guy who finished, what, 5th last year in the NL MVP voting, Anthony Rendon.
Oh, good one. Yeah, that's definitely.
I've always said if Anthony Rendon is healthy, he's going to be one of those guys that hits in the 300s consistently. Pretty good with the glove at the corner and third base. So I'm sticking with Anthony Rendon as my choice.
All right, so see, this is a tough one. Obviously, I could say Matt Wieters if he's still going to be in the contract, or I could say Chris Davis, but I'm going to go with Jonathan Schoop, second baseman for the Baltimore Orioles. He's a guy that has shown so much promise. Actually, he's like Manny Machado's best friend. He's a guy that will eventually be hitting for 30 home runs. That's from second base, Gold Glove second baseman already. At his young age, has a cannon for an arm. I can see him hitting about 270, 280. But he's a guy that eventually, and he'll bring it. He'll drive in about 100 RBIs when healthy. This season hurt him. He was hurt this season. Well, yeah, he was hurt this season early in the season with the knee injury. But if he didn't get hurt, he's probably on pace to already have about 20 home runs. So you look at me. I like to think that Jonathan Scope will be an All Star next season. I actually posed a question on Facebook. I posted this question on Facebook: which Oriole or Nat would be an All Star next season? Who wasn't an All Star this season? My girl Nancy said Scope, and my girl Sharon said Scope as well. So it seems like Scope is the overall consensus in terms of which Oriole will be an All Star next season. But let's go to boxing. Last Saturday, Keith Thurman defeated Luis Collazo in the eighth round with an eighth round knockout. Excuse me. He called out Floyd too, but want to talk about that fight first before I talk about him calling out Floyd.
You just saw another step, another progression for one of the young good fighters that's progressing, who could be one of the guys that we look back in history and say is one of the better fighters. Keith Thurman's a guy who has a very high knockouts percentage. I think he's won, I don't know the stats. I think it's 27 fights with 21 knockouts. Keith Thurman's a strong welterweight, young. They fought the fight in his backyard in Tampa.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's very technically sound, power puncher, has a great personality. Well, a good personality that's, you know, really camera friendly and articulate. So promising things for this young man in his career as he continues going forward. I hope to see him step up the level of competition.
Yeah.
Going forward with his next fight, preferably, you know, a guy like Amir Khan, a guy like, a Danny Garcia fight would be way down the line if both of them keep winning. But, you know, a guy like Amir Khan, Sean Porter, something like that, another guy that's under the PBC, Al Haymon umbrella.
So why would he be suited to fight Amir Khan compared to, say, Danny Garcia? Amir Khan.
Well, I mean, Danny Garcia is just working his way up to 147.
Gotcha.
Even though Danny Garcia beat Amir Khan, Danny Garcia hasn't done anything in 147 to merit a title shot. You know, we know he was a champion at 140, fought his past couple fights in catch weight like 143, 144. I want to see how Danny Garcia handles welterweight punches from a strong welterweight, and also see can he have a better performance than he's put on in his previous two or three fights.
Got you. So I mentioned him calling out Floyd Mayweather, saying Floyd, you know, pretty much try to tarnish that O.
He wants to take his O.
Take his
come
O.
Come take the O.
Come take the O. Yeah, I try to use another term, but yes, don't take that O. I was trying to use a different one, but it's okay. Yeah, thank you for correcting me, sir. Is he on that type of level? Because when I first saw Thurman fight years ago, he's better than he was when I first saw him fight. I thought his punches were a little loopy at the time. But he's starting to impress me even more and more. But do you feel that he's on that level, that Floyd-ish level?
No, I don't think he's ascended to that level yet. I think he can ascend to that level, but I just don't think that the level of competition he's faced warrants a fight with Floyd Mayweather at this time, especially with it being Floyd's last fight going out at 49. You know, there's talks. CBS Sports reported that possibly for his last fight under his current contract with Showtime CBS, Floyd Mayweather may fight on CBS September 12th.
Yeah.
So if he does fight on September 12th on CBS, a guy like Keith Thurman would be in consideration, because if he's going to fight on CBS, I don't know if he possibly would get the 40 some odd million that he's been getting consistently for his previous fights guaranteed up front. Because you have to think about if it's going to be on CBS, where the dollars coming from, the revenues coming from, commercials. Are you able to sell that many commercials? Mm-hmm. It's not like you'll be able to charge what you're charging for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a lower, I'm not going to say a lower scale fight, but for a fight that economically, it can make sense for him to fight a Keith Thurman September 12th, if it's on CBS.
So, this is my next question then. Him fighting for free, pretty much on a free network.
No, he's not fighting for free,
but you know what I mean? CBS, a non-pay-per-view thing. You see Floyd actually doing that?
Absolutely.
You can't? Okay.
He's a guy that...
Because he won't be maximizing his dollar.
He won't be maximizing his dollar, but he's a guy who says he's here to save boxing.
And you believe that? Way,
I mean, that's what he says.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's what he... I'm not saying that's what he does. I'm saying that... This is what he says.
Okay.
So why not, if it's your last fight, 49-0, historical, why not put it on CBS? I've long stated, ever since Al Haymon has gotten the PBC, being able to start buying airtime.
Yeah, you haven't stated it. Yeah.
I haven't stated it. Don't be surprised if you saw a Floyd Mayweather fight on regular TV.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. It possibly could happen. It makes sense. It's just that, can you get the economics worked out?
Mm-hmm.
Because Floyd, you know, is... I don't like to talk about nobody else's money, but against Manny Pacquiao, he received guaranteed purse of $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Against Canelo, he received, I think it was $40 million. You know, so every one of his fights, he's received a purse of at least 30 from upwards to $100 million. So can you sell, can you get the sponsorships? Can you sell airtime for commercials in order to pay him that amount of money? That's all.
Yeah, I want to. Because I just don't think it's gonna happen with CBS. It's not a knock on Floyd though. If I was Floyd, I wouldn't do it.
Why not? See,
I just want my pay per view money.
You can't maximize your money. Think about it. Mm-hmm. You sold 4 million fights last time.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did you sell 4 million fights, but the large amount of the audience wasn't necessarily happy with your performance. Or not your performance, but the performance of the fight, right? So if you got 4 million sales, 4 million pay-per-view sales in May, it can only decrease. Now it could decrease, you know, we know you're not going to do 4 million again. You maybe could do 1 million depending on who your opponent is, but why not put yourself out there? Al Haymon is one of the better negotiators, one of the better executives. He has the relationships with the TV networks. So Al Haymon is a guy who could sell those commercial spots, depending on what he's selling them for. We've all seen that he can bring in sponsorship. So it's not about necessarily maximizing your revenue, the money you're going to make, because you've pretty much done that with the Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
You're not going to get another $200 million-plus check.
You're comparing it basically off of what he's made against Manny Pacquiao. I'm just saying, get all the money you can, bro.
You can get all the money you can, but how much bigger can you be without anything you do?
Mm-hmm.
Once you sell 4 million pay-per-views, anything you do from here is going to be deemed as
small
a failure.
Got you. Small chance.
Because people are going to be like, oh, you did the 4 million because of Pacquiao. Why not go do something that hasn't been done in a long time? Put a premium fight on regular TV so everyone can see.
Oh, I'd be a fan of it.
Yeah,
I would be a fan of it.
To be honest with you, at the peak, you might do something close to the Super Bowl, depending on how it's marketed, and who your opponent is.
So it would have to be the right fighter. So what kind of fighter could do that Super Bowl worthy type of fight for?
Amir Khan is a guy because he has that international following. Could bring that, but how will you work? How would the economics work?
Mm-hmm.
Kell Brook is a guy from England who could possibly work out for,
not a Canelo rematch.
No, not Canelo. Let's get truly imaginative.
Maybe Triple G. Knew it.
Maybe Triple G or something like that. You know, but if I'm him. Real, you know, and he has a lot of business acumen, and I'm sure he has very intelligent advisors and
mm-hmm.
people around him. But why not do CBS and go out with a bang?
This is an interesting discussion. We got to tackle this later again. Cause I like that one. I like you bringing the Super Bowl element of it, having that Super Bowl look to it. I didn't think about that. We got to talk about that later. I like that aspect. Anyway, let's go to the Redskins, Andy. Sports Illustrated writer Andy Benoit, I'm gonna say Bennett, Benoit. Is it Benoit for real? Okay, Andy Benoit ranks RG3 as the 31st out of 32 starting projected quarterbacks.
I can't agree with that. Buffalo is probably gonna have the worst starting quarterback. off the top of my head.
And this is either including Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota.
This is including Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. I can't agree with that.
Yeah.
And you know, 31 out of 32. Yeah. No. Maybe 29, 25 out of 32.
Yeah.
I could possibly agree with, but not 31 out of 32.
Especially
because that then you're saying that whoever the starter, well, maybe whoever the starter in Buffalo is below him, but then you're saying Mariota and Winston are going to be better.
The Texans don't even have a solid quarterback.
Yeah, then
position.
You're going to say the starter, whoever's in Texas, the Houston Texans, better than him. I'm thinking, Minnesota, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I was going to get that.
I can't say Teddy Bridgewater at this point is better than Robert Griffin III.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Jay Cutler has the talent and ability.
You can say the same for RG3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, I mean, I think that's a little bit – I think he went a little bit overboard with that. But, you know, everyone's now in today's media. It's all about the headline. It's how do you get people to get to click on your article.
That's true. I don't agree with it, though. This should spark motivation for RG3. I know people always say, well, an athlete needs this for motivation, whatever. But this is just evident. To me, it shouldn't dictate your motivation. But I know I would pocket it, though.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things if you hang up on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
To give you that little extra burst. But Robert Griffin III should already have a high level of motivation for two reasons. Yeah. A, last year your coach pretty much called you out to the carpet and aired you out for everyone, saying that you're not a pocket passer, saying that you haven't made the necessary steps and progressions to be an NFL quarterback. Two, you're essentially in a contract year because even though they picked up that fifth year option, it's only guaranteed for injury.
Exactly.
It's not guaranteed for skill. So Washington can still technically cut you, even though I highly doubt
they won't.
Would.
They won't.
But they could still technically cut you if you don't perform at a level that's conducive to them going forward with you long term.
Well, it just added to the whole how I look at it. It's added to the whole RG3 cycle of information to take in and say, okay, you know what? Folks think this about me. I need to prove everybody. I got to prove it to myself first. You don't owe anybody, but you got to prove it to myself first. And it just show myself and my teammates that I can lead and I can play at a high level. And hopefully this kid will. But more Redskin news. CBS broadcaster Chris Sims, that's the son of Phil Sims, a Giants Super Bowl quarterback, believes that the Redskins roster is too talented not to be a playoff contender.
I think the wording is wrong. I think they have talent in spots on that roster, right?
Okay.
So you have DeSean Jackson. Pierre Garçon, whether people want to admit it or not, is one of the better possession receivers, is a tremendous run blocker. Jordan Reed is a guy that, when healthy,
there you go.
has shown he has some talent. Alfred Morris is one of those guys that's going to consistently get you 4 yards of carry. Trent Williams is one of the better left tackles. On the other side of the ball, that's where the questions come in. You have Pot Roast.
You got Keenan Robinson.
And I think a guy who's going to take his game to a next level, Chris Culliver.
Yeah.
I think when this season's over, we're going to talk about Chris Culliver as one of the top seven to ten cornerbacks in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they have rosters, but I think they have talent in spots. But as a whole, no, because in order to have a talented roster, you have to have depth. And this is the one thing that's killed this team over the last couple of years is depth.
I've always stated I'm opposite. I always stated that this team does have playoff because of the teams I looked at have made the playoffs. That I feel like this team is more talented. Now your depth argument is completely valid. Excuse me. But when I talk about, and I said this last season, even with RG3, I said that if we can't score about 20, if the Redskins can't score about 20 points and plus a game with DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, the players that you just mentioned, then there's something wrong with the quarterback. And it's all predicated. Again, I'm going to say this team is a playoff talented team if the quarterback plays at a particular level. I'm not even talking about an all pro level. I'm talking about a responsible starting quarterback level that did not happen last season. If he can play at a playoff, at a, excuse me, at a, at a, at a good, not great, a good quarterback level, then this team will be fine. And this team will be a playoff team. But it's all on him. You know what I'm saying? That's all on him. Chips are on him. He has to do it. And but defensively, I like who they picked up and signed in the offseason. I like you said, Culliver. I like and it creates a depth. And now Amerson, who started, is now not a starter. So you have depth within the cornerback position. You have we saw what Rashard Breland did last season as a rookie. So he can only, there's not that much pressure on him now because you brought in Culliver. So Culliver's going to see the number one. Breland can now go to number two and still learn to be
what
as a good starter.
D. Hall?
You did bringing in D. Hall back, being like the fourth or third or nickel corner. You still have a lot you can work with, and then you do have versatility even within the safety position. Because don't forget, when Amerson got drafted, a lot of people thought he could be moved to safety down the road anyway. So you have flexible pieces. You had individuals who got a chance to start, so they got their beak wet. Like Philip Thomas. So he's an opportunity. He's learned. So he that creates depth. I'm not saying he's a starter, but it creates depth in its own right. Pot roast, Baker, you can move now. Baker's not a nose for real. You can put him now on the DN side. And also you got Hatcher, who kind of tired out anyway. So you by having pot roast there, it all makes everything a little bit deeper. Now, the problem they have to me is the inside linebacker position. Perry Riley, he's still there. So that's the issue right now. I'm just being real. That's the issue. Keenan Robinson showed you that he can play it at an all pro level. Now you give him a nose tackle, it's even better. Cause we all know that nose tackle is an inside linebacker's best friend.
All right. Well, you know, we got 2 weeks until training camp. So we'll see how things, you know, start to play out
that's
for
true.
This team.
That's
so.
True. Let's go to the rivals of the Washington Redskins. Dez Bryant is willing to hold out and miss a lot of the regular season to do so, to get his money until he gets his long-term deal.
I think Dez is going about this all wrong. Mm-hmm. I think he's letting his emotions get the best of him. Here's why. If I'm Dez Bryant, I would miss training camp. I wouldn't sign until the week of the first game. So I get my check, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's franchise? You get what? $12.8 million this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Granted, he can miss the first 10 games and still make as much as he's ever made over his rookie seat during his rookie contract. But if I'm his management, I'm telling him sign the tender. Mm-hmm. Then when you get to training camp, you hold a press conference. During that press conference, you clearly go on the record and state, look, I feel as if I've outperformed my contract. You know, I've during my rookie contract, I outperformed that. Over the past 3 years, the statistics and my play, that it speaks for itself. I'm one of the, if I'm not one, the number one, I'm 1A. So I'm one of the best receivers in the game. Dallas wants to sign me for $12.8 million this year. Cool. I'll sign the tender, but, you know, I think all of this Cowboy for Life stuff that Jerry and his son have been talking is false, because you had the opportunity to sign me for the long term. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play out this season, and then if you want to keep me next year, you tender me, and then I'll sign for 20% about a 20% raise in what I'm getting, and then after that, I'm gone. Because clearly you had the opportunity to make me a Cowboy for Life. I wanted to be a Cowboy for Life. You've shown that unless it's at your price, you want to, it's only going to work and it's only one-sided. So I feel as if throughout this process, I've been shown who I really is. It's just a piece of labor, an asset to you. So I'll sign my tender for this year, next year. Then after that, I plan on testing the market. And there's a good possibility I won't be a Cowboy anymore. That's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. Just come out and say that. If you don't get your if you don't get your contract by tomorrow, then you aren't going to get it. But you come out and say those things, I bet you that I put a fire under Jerry's butt heading into next offseason, and you're going to get everything plus more that you wanted next year.
He already let DeMarco Murray go.
Yeah, he let DeMarco Murray go, but DeMarco Murray is a running back who's 29 years old, and we all know that running backs, there really isn't a premium on running backs. Those are guys that, well, at least – you know, most NFL owners feel that can be easily replaced. Plus, also, Jerry's looking at, look with that line. Look at the line we built. DeMarco wasn't going to do what he did in Dallas and Philadelphia. But if you're Dez Bryant, receiver is one of the hardest positions to fill.
Yeah, it is. To get number one.
To get a legitimate number one. We saw that in Dallas outside of T.O. the early years. There was a big void in that offense. So if I'm him, I just come on the record. I sign it. I have my press conference during the first week. And after that, I'm saying this is the only time I want to go on the record and talk about my contract situation. I'm signed it. Clearly, Jerry and his son have shown that they don't want me to be a Cowboy for life. They don't want to help. All of that Cowboy for life family stuff was false. So I'm going to sign my tender this year. If they want to keep me next year, that's the only way I'll come back is if I sign the tender for next year. And then after that, I plan on being a free agent. You think about it, he'll have collected $28 million over those 2 years. Then you probably can get you another 20 something more. So at the end of the day, you make like $40 million guaranteed, and you still what, 27? That's the way to work it.
So when you look at Dez Bryant, because I don't look at him as I don't feel that he should be the highest paid wide receiver. I think a lot of people do. I think there's a couple wide receivers I would take over Dez Bryant. My main one is Calvin Johnson with Dez Bryant any day of the week. That's my number one. And I would consider, because of productivity, Antonio Brown is a beast too.
Antonio Brown's a beast.
You know what I mean? Like when you look at the work he does, he's a beast. Like
he is.
There's a couple guys that when I look at him, I'm like, all right, well, I like Dez Bryant since college. So I'm a Dez Bryant fan. So I put that out there. So it's not because he's a Dallas cat. I'm a Dez Bryant fan. But Dez Bryant's route running is very limited to me. But he does that one thing very well. Same thing I talk about Randy Moss. He does that one thing very well. You know what I mean? So when I look at Dez Bryant, I'm always questioning, what does he want? I'm guessing he wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you look at his production, it's comparable to the number one wide receiver in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Well, he should get paid.
Pay me my money.
Yeah, pay me what you owe. I'm not knocking it. Dez Bryant deserves his money, but I'm interested to see if he's gonna like do what he says he's gonna do. But we'll see anyway.
Nah, Dez, sign.
Take the franchise.
Take the franchise. And then, hold that one press conference. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about it no more. And just shut up and come to work and do your job.
I feel like he's at the talent level. To be honest with you, that he's gonna maximize it anyway.
Yeah, you're gonna.
And even if he gets hurt for real, he's still gonna get his money, because if he's hurt and they try to lowball him, the next team is just going to pay him the amount that he wants.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. If I'm Dez Bryant, I'm going to make it work for me and not against me.
All right. So I agree. All right. Let's go real quick before we go to a break. We'll talk some more Cowboys news. Greg Hardy, his suspension was initially 10 games, was dropped to 4 games.
I still think there's some little bit of inconsistency in this. Even though he was found guilty the first time, and they have that evidence the second time, you know, the witness refused to, she got ghost, probably was paid off. And if you look at the old disciplinary guidelines and bylaws, he should only be suspended for 2 games, which this occurred under. So I don't know if Greg Hardy and his people in the NFLPA are going to fight this.
I don't think so.
I would. I only want to miss 2 games.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're gonna be happy with what they got. When you fill out the situation and you see some of the responses, it just looks like he's cool with the 4 games. I think he thought it'd be much worse. I don't think he even thought it'd be reduced that low, to be honest with you.
I always knew it would be reduced. I thought it would be reduced to like 2 or 3.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it's just 4 games, regardless, the Cowboys, they get over in this way, because a lot of folks stayed away from him because they thought he may get a lengthy suspension. And he's only getting, like, you know, again, 4 games. At the moment, he's only getting 4 games. So they're getting a premier pass rusher with just missing 4 games for next season. So they kind of went out. So big ups to the Cowboys organization. I don't like saying that, but big ups to him. Anyway, it's time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the Baltimore Orioles and the Nationals second half of the season, see what direction they're going to go and what could happen. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times. without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it was split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. That life is good.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wiley and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming.
Thanks, Scott. We love you too, man. Thanks for the support. We appreciate it. Again, make sure you rest that leg of yours, man. That knee injury is not the best thing ever. Believe me, I tore my knee years ago on my basketball career back in the heyday. That's when I was one of the best young basketball players in the world.
Absolutely. International,
son.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
You could have definitely made Nigeria.
I could have. That's still my goal. Truth be told, to be honest with you, my goal down the road is to be on the Nigerian Olympic team. And hopefully, Kobe Bryant is still playing basketball. Maybe he'll retire. Maybe he wants to play basketball for the USA team. They'll let him play like they did Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing. And I can just foul him hard.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It'd be great. That's my dream. I aspire to foul Kobe Bryant hard in a basketball game. That's my thing in life. Okay. That's why I aspire. So kids, when you listen to me, know that you too can dream. I'm dreaming for violence. You may not be, but I'm dreaming for violence. To get back at Kobe Bryant. For all the hurt he did for me and my Lakers teams, period.
Whatever makes you happy.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Anyway, you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. And again, we are on the BDSIR Network, which is www.bdsirnetwork.com. Our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. You know what? I called in to like the Sports Crib and I was on for like 30 minutes and the fool didn't click over on me so I can get on the show. I felt a particular way. I tweeted and said, yeah, I'm on. I'm here trying to help out. I still love you, James. You know what I mean? You my man, West Coast Still a Fan. You my man. This is not, I'm not trashing you, but I'm voicing my annoyance. I ain't get a click over and say, okay, Wally, my bag, or whatever. It was quiet. Is it because I wasn't on the show for a minute? I've been reading. I know I've been reading it. I wasn't on the show. I was just reading it just to read it. I was giving out love. And now, I mean, I couldn't get a click over on a Thursday night? I'm busy on a Thursday night. I just decided out of my busyness to go out and help out a friend, and I can't get Wally. I apologize. I'm beefing over that. I ain't gonna lie, I'm kind of beefing.
Reach out to him, man.
He's a great guy, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's a great guy. I love West Coast. I love that dude. Big up to you, West Coast. I'm just saying, and don't worry, I'm over it already. But I just want you to know, if you listen to the show, that I was on. West Coast supports me. He used to listen to it all the time. Maybe since I haven't been on the show, he's probably carried it. It's okay though. All right. The Nationals. Right now, the Nationals have a two-game lead over the Mets in the NL East. What do the Nats need to do to pull away?
Shore up that bullpen. You know, those middle relievers haven't consistently given them, you know, the type of performance that they were hoping for after they traded away Tyler Clippard. Mm-hmm. So that's one. Well, no, number one is get healthy.
Yeah, that was my thing.
You have Jason Worth, who's out. You have Anthony Rendon, who's out. Is Fister still?
No, he's back.
Fister's back. You know, you have Strasburg, who's still out. So you have some injuries. So you've basically been doing it with your bench.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. If these guys can ever get healthy, you know, like a Rendon and a Worth. Span's been out also. So that's what probably your number, your top, what the top part of your rotate. I mean, your bat noise.
Yeah, it's true.
Those guys ever get healthy, then this is a even more lethal lineup.
No, I agree. This team, and again, you listen to Urban Sports saying, the Nets are what they need to do is, and you said it earlier, they need to get healthy. That's what it is. You got Denard Span, Jason Worth, Ryan Zimmerman,
Rendon.
So if they get these individuals back in the lineup, it makes their team even that more potent. You see what the pitchers are doing. You got Gio pitching well again. You got Strasburg, and Strasburg has to get healthy too. Strasburg pitched well before he got hurt. You always to be Max Scherzer, Jordan Zimmerman. The team is starting to play well in terms of the pitching. And then in the closer and Drew Storm, he's actually had a decent season. So this team, I'm referring to the Nats, this team, if they can get healthy, the Mets would have to play phenomenal baseball to even stay in the hunt with them. And the Nationals, to me, if the Nationals, when the Nationals are healthy and they get it all going, yeah, by far they should pull away from the NL East.
Yeah, and possibly make that trade that everyone's been speculating about for Geraldo Chapman.
And who would they have to trade up? Would it be Desmond? Would you put Ian Desmond in the trade?
I haven't thought that far through it.
Okay, because I would I like Drew Storen. I wouldn't give up the bank to get, because Chapman's to me is a guy you have to give up enough to get a Chapman. You have to give up a lot to give up a Chapman. You already have a closer, so I don't know how you would do that. Because Drew Storen's been
using for a middle reliever.
Use like a setup guy.
Setup guy.
But that's hard for somebody like him who's been a closer and been a down. Because closers, it's like the glamour position for, for a bullpen.
True, there's a mentality to it, but I guess when there's an opportunity to win a World Series, mm-hmm. egos can be put aside. I think for the betterment of what you're trying to achieve.
That's true. In baseball, you can always be greedy. In baseball, you can definitely always be greedy. But if they did that, to me, if they trade for any major player or position player or pitcher or whatever, I'll consider trading Jordan Ian Desmond, because you got that kid Trey Turner, mm-hmm. who in the Futures game had a good game. He's hitting over in his span. I'm not sure if it's the span or even the whole season. He's hitting over like 400. So you already have a guy at the shortstop position who's fast, who can hit. Why not give him a call up and maybe, get rid of Ian Desmond now? You're not going to sign him. I mean, he's a free agent after this season. Trade him.
Ian Desmond hasn't played like he's played, over the past 2-3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, looks like he's regressed and gotten even worse, if that's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't given you that pop that he has from the shortstop position later on in the lineup. So I don't know if there'll be
a trade value, a value for him.
His trade value is very high, but like you said, if you don't plan on bringing him back, I think it could be, some people may be disappointed in how his tenure with the Nets ended if you traded him away at this point, but you gotta do his best for the team moving forward.
Man, do his best for business. It was best to win. And even if you don't want to call up Trey Turner, Espinosa, you watched him play. You saw he's playing well. Espinosa, why not? He can play shortstop. Let him play shortstop. Trade away. Like, at the point in time, just make sure you get something for him. I'm not even asking to get something, get the best for him. There's a team out there that's going to think that Ian Desmond is one season a change of scenery away from being an all-star shortstop again. I'm sure there's that team out there that's looking for, like, okay, the Nets may not want him, but you know what? I think I can fix Ian Desmond. I'm sure there's a team out there that feels they can do that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if that does happen, why not get rid of him? I'm always for if you know a guy's going to leave in any sport, get rid of him. If you know he's going to leave. Because at the end of the day, if you're not going to win that championship that season, at the end of the day, you just lost. You lost it for nothing. And you knew you can get something for him.
I think it's all dependent. I think sometimes if that guy brings a certain glue factor or personality or leadership to, this is in any sport, to your locker room, you got to think, you got to second guess it. then you also, how does that affect the team chemistry, you know, on field? You know what I mean? We have to plug in someone new. You know, does he have like that kind of mental connection with the guys who play around him? You know, so, you know, because I'm pretty sure Escobar, Espinoza, those guys are used to, you know, if they see the ball coming off the bat, they, you know, they know Ian Desmond's range, you know, they know how Desmond's going to play it. That's so, you know, those are things you got to take into consideration. But very valid point about trading a guy and getting something, getting some type of value.
Yeah, so, but but they do that, I'll be fine. They decide to trade Ian Desmond. I think that'll be a good move for him. But if they decide to keep him, I know he's important to the locker room. So if they decide to keep him, I mean, you do want a happy locker room at the same time.
All right, let's go up 295 and talk about the Orioles. The Orioles are in third place. They're having a horrible July and after having a great June. What's wrong with your team?
It's interesting. So what's wrong with the Orioles is that they can't, again, I think I mentioned this before, but it's just, it rings true. They don't have a consistent lineup. We called up Parmalee. Now he's playing first base. Now he moved Chris Davis to right field. So I guess by trying to add offense, they weaken themselves defensively by having Chris Davis at right field. You have a first baseman playing outfield who doesn't have that much range. And then they're still trying to find a left fielder. I wouldn't be surprised if the team tries to go out in the trade deadline and go out in the trade market and try to find an outfielder who can do something offensively. They've platooned Snyder, Lowe, Rymo, at that position. So the offense has struggled. And you saw the Nats game. They could barely, in that game, the only person to do anything was Adam Jones. And Scherzer was a great pitcher, but again, he was the only guy who was able to do anything. Manny Machado can't carry this team. He's great, but he's, for a young player, he's playing phenomenal. But you can't put that much onus on Manny, that much pressure on Manny Machado to be a star every night. Adam Jones can't do it every night. This team has to be a collective effort. Matt Wieters has to come up and produce more. And my problem with the Orioles right now is, I mean, I can't doubt Buck, but I do have my questions. You have Parmalee, who as a career, like 240, 250 hitter, but they value him so much that they're moving Chris Davis to right field and him playing first. Now, granted, I know this could be an audition for either player because Chris Davis probably won't be back for the Orioles next season. So maybe you want to, you know, show that he can play multiple positions and then try to trade him. But this team still is capable of going to the postseason, capable of getting to the World Series if healthy. Why have your first baseman play right field? It makes no sense. I even posed the question, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what to many Orioles fans, what is on Facebook, what is the Orioles' best lineup? My man David Barrett said Machado. This is in order 1 through 9. Machado, Paredes, Jones, Davis, Wieters, Hardy, Pierce, Parmalee, and Jonathan Scope. Again, I wouldn't have Jonathan Scope. Excuse me, I wouldn't have Parmalee in that lineup. My favorite lineup for the Orioles to have is a Machado, Paredes, Jones, Davis, Wieters, Hardy. No, Wieters, me, Wieters, Reimold, Hardy, and Jonathan Scope. So it depends. Snyder and Jonathan Scope. So again, if the Orioles would have a set lineup, I would definitely put Rymo in left field. I would have Snyder at right field, Davis at first base, Jones at center field, third base Machado, second shortstop Hardy, second base Scope, and catcher Matt Wieters, and let it rock that way. So I would love for the Orioles to have a consistent lineup, but my man Greg Brown said, also on Facebook, said, I like to test Jonathan Scope in the four hole in the cleanup spot, have Davis.
Four hole.
That sounds bad, doesn't it?
That's what it is, though.
It's called the four hole, unfortunately. Okay. Dang. Jeez. Baseball terminology sucks. Or have Davis at 5 or 6 spot. Is that okay? 5 or 6 spot?
5 or 6 spot.
I feel like sounds 6 spot is kind of dirty, too, for some strange reason. Six spot.
Four hole.
Yeah, it's, four hole's bad, but 6 spot don't sound right either, though.
I can deal with 6 spot.
Six spot. I don't know either. Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing too much on this one.
We are.
I know, right? My man Joshua Baker on Facebook. Joshua Becker on Facebook said Paredes, Machado, Jonesy, Weeters, Davis, Pierce, Hardy, Scope, and Snyder. Again, I'm not the biggest Pierce fan, but a lot of Oriole fans like Pierce. We'll see, but you know, again, it's coming to the second half of the season. So hopefully the Orioles have that all changed up and ready to try to make a run. Because again, the AL East is there for the taking, but they keep playing this poorly. You know, the Yankees have pulled away from this whole thing, and the Yankees already have a four game lead on the Baltimore Orioles already as we speak. But we'll see how that pans out. Anyways, about time for another commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the NBA offseason. We can talk about Summer League, all that good jazz, man. Summer League's getting awesome. I want to talk about how Okafor is looking way better than Russell, and Russell looks kind of slow. I'm sure you watched more.
I want to talk about Porzingis.
Yeah, I've heard things about him. I have mixed reviews. We'll talk about that after the break.
Okay.
It's the other sports scene. You dig?
Deuces.
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day. And of course, give it your best shot.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band about that one, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me. Just watch. Don't believe me. Just watch.
Don't believe me. Just watch. Hey. Wait a minute. Yeah, I'm jamming to it. I'm gonna liquor though. Sorry, I don't have any liquor. Liquor would be good right now though. What? You don't like? That makes you lose weight. I'm trying to lose weight all the time. What's wrong with that? What is wrong? Uh-oh. All-Star game. The AL. Mike Trout just hit a home run off Zach Greinke. Lead-off home run. Excuse me. AL up 1-0. I feel like doing my commentating job. I'm trying to do it. I couldn't do any excitement. Not like Chris Berman. Back, 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 back. Gone! You weren't feeling that? You don't like that, John?
Remember that the Cadbury egg? Commercial.
Bop, bop, bop. Yeah, exactly how he sounds. He does.
It's annoying as hell.
He does sound like
that. I understand that's his thing.
Wow, he totally sounds like that.
Once you hear it,
bop, 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 bop.
Once you hear it, like once, and I understand that's like his signature thing for baseball. It's kind of like when Mark Jackson, hand down, man down.
Who doesn't like that?
There goes that.
I can hear that thing is awesome.
Nah, I mean you save it for a special occasion. You don't say it all the damn time.
What's wrong?
Luster.
That's thing is like that. Man, come on, man. How you gonna not like hand down,
mama,
man down?
There goes.
You don't like that,
man.
Mama? There goes that man.
When you say it like 2 or 3 times,
hey,
the game,
sometimes it never gets old.
It gets old. It gets repetitive.
What?
Especially when I know when you're about to say it. On what occasion I know you're about to.
Hey,
say it.
Hey, hey, man. It's a tough line. It really is. It's a real tough line, man. I wish I could come up with something like that. I got a steal from Mark Jackson. Hand down, man down. When I'm hooping, like today I was hooping in my lunch break. You know what I mean? I was off today though. I was terrible.
I was horrible.
I was Charles Barker. I was terrible. I mean, I couldn't hit a J till like the last game when I hit like eight out of, you know, I scored eight and we went to 16. Pat myself on the back, buddy. You know what I mean? One of those things. But people, like dumb basketball players frustrate me. That's the problem. But dumb basketball players really frustrate me. Like,
speaking of dumb basketball players, let's talk about, I'm not going to say that.
Hold on. Well, her phone lines are open. Numbers 240-478-3140. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene on the BDSIR network.
Well, I'll say this. Go ahead. Let's talk about an executive for, let's talk about a team whose executive has made a couple of questionable decisions. We're talking about the Washington Wizards.
Good, go ahead. Our
NBA
Wizards.
Executives say that they believe KD is likely to sign with the Thunder. Should the Wizards still be all in for KD in 2016?
Man, all this talk about where he's going to go. And you mentioned what you just stated now. I think the Wizards need to go elsewhere and just worry about this roster for what it is and stop trying to forecast to, you know, wait for one man and just try to make the team the best they can make it. Period. Stop worrying about this one dude, you know what I mean? If you can just focus on making this team the best, then just do that. But in terms of like waiting for KD, because you have like he's gonna be fighting with the Lakers. Reports of the Lakers, the Mavericks. I heard a dark horse team is the Miami Heat who's out there waiting. You know what I mean? So there's teams out there that's trying to, you know, vie for this man's ability. And I've heard through a source that KD was leaning towards the Lakers at the time. So. And it wasn't even, you know, I mean, it wasn't the Wizards. I heard he was serious about the Lakers. And he works out over there in L.A., if my memory serves me correctly. Anyway.
He lives in L.A. during a portion of the offseason.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think, see, and I think that's where you lose focus on what's most important. What you should be doing is you should be making moves to make this team better, regardless if KD comes here or not, right? So if you build this roster and you build this team up and they continue to have success, the success that enables them to go to like the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's say if they had went to the Eastern Conference Finals this past year and then they're able to make, you know, some changes, some slight tweaks to the roster that can make them another appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, in the Eastern Conference Finals this year, then your presentation to him is strictly based on basketball, right? Mm-hmm. Also, you have that sentimental value because he was born and raised here and a proud Washingtonian. So, you know, if you continue to make this roster strong, regardless if he's coming here or not, I think that would only increase your chances of landing him. But to go all in for him for 2016 to say, oh, we're saving our cap space for Kevin Durant, I think that's the wrong plan, and I think it'll ultimately backfire on you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's the guy that they want, but I just feel like for him, we've been hearing this for how long now? Like, what, 2 years or something?
Yeah, you're gonna hear it all for the rest of this season coming up. KD.
Just, like, get over it. And the Lakers, stop using the Lakers as a bargaining chip. He's not coming to L.A. That team has no clout.
He's not leaving Russell Westbrook, Enes Kanter.
Which I'm going to talk about later.
And the rest of that roster.
That roster is tight. We're gonna talk about that later. But that roster is tight.
It's just not have me personally. I'm a firm believer that it's either DC or he signs back with Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's DC for sentimental reasons. Won't be for winning, in my opinion.
Because
OKC's roster is like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it is.
Got too much talent.
They do. Anyway, let's go to the summer league for the Washington Wizards. Kelly Oubre, the summer league, shooting the ball a lot, scoring a lot. But shooting the ball a lot.
Yeah, you said you had it first, right, the first time. Shooting the ball a hell of a lot. Even though, you know, he's had a game, his first game, he had a double-double, 20 points, 10 rebounds. He had some turnovers. Look, at this point, I think one of the biggest detriments to his game is shot selection. And even though it was a summer league game, but that just lets you know, A, this guy, he does have the confidence, right? But also, B, he hasn't refined his shot selection to be as efficient. And we all know in today's NBA, it's about efficiency when you're on the floor. You don't want a guy taking 17 shots just to score 20 points. you know, you want this guy to take maybe 12 shots, you know, to get 18 points, something like that, whether it's, you know, through whether he's hitting it, that would have been all types of wrong.
He's hitting it. You're right. He's hitting it.
No, whether
hitting it raw.
He's shooting threes from downtown, or he's getting to the line and, you know, getting to the basket, getting in the lane.
Getting into the lane. All right.
You know, so to me, the thing that needs to improve on is shot selection, and also better movement without the ball, in my opinion. From what I saw, you know,
I really watched
just about every summer.
I just saw stats. I know. I'm glad you're here because you've watched them all. I just saw stats and just seeing like he went one, like, was it 5 for 17 or something like that?
Yep.
I was like, good God, there's no other player of substance to shoot the ball other than him on the summer league team.
They don't have a whole lot on
that. I bet. Good God. So do you think he could be a steal in the draft? Could he be a starter?
I think he's a project. He has a long way to go. You know, I think he has even a longer way to go than Otto Porter had.
Okay. Oh, wow.
In my opinion.
Yeah, okay.
To, you know, at least Otto Porter, and this is no knock on Oubre, Otto Porter has very high basketball IQ.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Kelly Oubre, just from his shot selection, and maybe he was forced to take all those shots.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what the coaching staff wanted from him. But he doesn't seem like the guy who gets his teammates involved. It almost seems like a black hole when the ball goes to him. So he has a number of things to improve on his game. He does have the potential to be a very strong contributor for your roster. But right now, he has a long way to go. Could he be a steal? I don't know. It's DC, especially with young athletes. They come to DC, they lose their mind. They don't necessarily have the focus.
Yeah.
So that's another thing he's going to have to.
That too, yeah, you're right.
He's going to have to. Will he be focused when he comes to DC? It's a lot to do here.
Yeah, it's just summer league right now.
Yeah.
When you actually get to the city and start to, you know, get the perks
out there, meet you know people.
He'll meet club promoters and whatnot.
You know what I mean, he might be like Andre Blatch and JaVale McGee, and Nick Young in the club every night.
Yeah.
On a Monday,
Tuesday, a Wednesday.
Thursday, Friday,
Saturday, Sunday. Another job. Yep. It's another job. Anyway, over the weekend, I'm sure you saw, over the weekend, the Lakers played against the Sixers. Okafor versus Russell. D'Angelo Russell versus Khalil Okafor.
Look.
Thoughts?
I've always said I thought that Jahlil Okafor, you know, I used to have this debate with people. People said that Karl Anthony Towns should be the number one pick.
Yeah, I actually still believe that. But
to me, Okafor should have been for Minnesota. I think Okafor would have been a better choice for Okafor has won in high school. He won in college. Minnesota is lacking a winning culture. So you bring a guy like that who's committed to winning. That can definitely help turn it, especially if he's going to be one of the faces of your franchise going forward. And you already have Kevin Garnett in there. He can help to turn things around and create a winning culture. But B, Jahlil Okafor does something that a lot better than 70% of the centers in the NBA now, which is an offensive back to the basket game and also being able to face up down on the block. Jahlil Okafor's footwork is highly impressive, tremendous. Now he's lacking on his lateral movement defensively, but down on the block, drop step. He has moves with his right and his left hand. He can score from the right block or the left block. So the Sixers, you know, they did the right thing for their franchise. If, in fact, Joel Embiid is going to be out.
No, he's out for the season.
Yeah, he's out for two. This will be two seasons in a row.
Yeah, he's out for the season.
You know, and like we stated the other time, you know, you get Nerlens Noel, who's a defensive stopper, with Jahlil Okafor down there. He can cover for a lot of the defensive weaknesses that Jahlil Okafor has. Russell, I've always said it, I think Russell's going to be a star. But he just hasn't shown. He didn't show it in that first game yet.
Not in the second either.
Comfortable.
Not in that second game either.
He didn't show it in the second. He's going to be a star. D'Angelo Russell is going to be a star. He's still learning the NBA game. And I think for a guard, it's harder to make an impact in the NBA as a rookie than it is for a big man.
D'Angelo Russell looks slow. He looks slow for a point guard. You're asking for him. You're going to ask him to go against Chris Paul and all these other individuals. He's a very – he reminds me – no, D'Angelo Russell is a – I like this kid. I actually went to the same college that D'Angelo Russell went to. Got John Wall got drafted ahead of him. He reminds me of a better shooting Evan Turner. I wouldn't draft Evan Turner as a two guy. He's a better shooting Evan Turner. I wouldn't draft him. I think Evan Turner does a little bit more, to be honest with you. If you want me to be totally real with you, he does more. D'Angelo Russell is a better shooter. I don't see a star like a D'Angelo Russell. I do see a bust, though. I do see a bust. I see a regret. I see a regret pick that, you know what?
Well, no,
I had the opportunity to pick this. Probably a lot of people thought before the draft, before the, even the season started, that Jahlil Okafor was the best player in the coming out when he went to Duke. So, I mean, some would say Moudé, who decided to go overseas, though. But Moudé, whatever you call it, Moudé or Moudé, whatever. And then some would, then you know, Towns. Towns look good. Towns look good. And I would say that, I was cool with Minnesota getting Towns because I felt like they're an athletic team. Towns, the athletic big who can pick and pop. And you're tailored to Wiggins anyway. So it's like it was a good fit for in that situation for me. The Lakers getting Russell wasn't a good pick. Why? Because when you think of the Lakers, you think of the history of the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers are known to have that dominant big. You know what I mean? You had the big right there for you. A Tim Duncan-ish big. There for the taking. You know what I mean? Before the season started, people rated him the best player in college. And you take the guy who's probably rated in the a nine as the best player in college over Jahlil Okafor, a guy who's 20-10, who's going against other centers who can't play defense. It's easier to score against those centers than for a D'Angelo Russell, who's going to go against who? A Steph Curry, a Chris Paul, a Russell Westbrook. D. Rose, John Wall. He ain't getting no break. It's going to be tough for that kid just by that alone.
No, I'm not saying it isn't going to be tough for him, but I think if you saw a lot of D'Angelo Russell play, then you know he did a lot with a very, very not that good team. He put him on their back. Are there things he needs to learn about the game? Absolutely. But I do think that he has a lot of skills that easily transfers to the NBA game. And I think he'll be far from being a bust.
It's okay. I know. And
Jahlil Okafor offensively is so good
that
you could potentially be right that, you know, the Lakers can regret not taking Okafor because offensively in today's NBA, you know, his game in today's NBA, he's essentially could easily be a dominant center.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So it just depends. Anyway, speaking of centers, we didn't mention this last week, but they didn't talk about it. Lakers, man. They acquired Roy Hibbert.
A good 1-year rental for the Lakers. You know, you lost out on your primary
bigs plural.
And, you know, the primary guys you wanted. Roy Hibbert, you know, I think it's insane that the Indiana Pacers and their fans are going to blame him for the, you know.
They blamed him?
Yeah, a lot of people are essentially blaming him for the decline in their play.
Oh, my God.
Last year. But maybe Roy Hibbert just needs a new.
Change of scenery.
Change of scenery. And maybe, you know, playing with in L.A. will help motivate him and get him back to what we all think he can and should be as a 17-10 guy.
You know, I'm a George Allen fan. I'm a George Hibbert fan. But this pick did nothing for me. I looked at it, I was like, this is such a bad fit. No, it's good for Kobe, but it's bad for Roy Hibbert. Because Roy Hibbert is a submissive big man. So he will if he needed touches, he won't say, Kobe, I need more touches. You know what I mean? Like Pau Gasol would make like subliminal shots and say, I need touches. Mm-hmm. Roy Hibbert is a subservient individual in that regard. So he will like just say, okay, whatever. You know, you're Kobe Bryant. I'm Roy Hibbert. Who cares? It'll be one of those things. So he won't be demonstrative and say, okay, I need my touches and this, that, and the other. So for Kobe, it's cool. You know, for Kobe, it's cool. It is. But for somebody like Roy Hibbert who needs touches and needs to show that, yeah, I'm still relevant. I can still do this in the NBA. I can still be, like you said, 17-10. It's a bad play for him. It's a bad fit for him. I thought it was funny that, you know, you lost out on everybody else. So you said, okay, let me trade for Roy Hibbert to make the fan base a little bit happy that we went and tried to show that we're trying to do something within a weakness. But again, it just goes back to that whole Laker mystique, seeing that it's actually tarnished just a little bit. But anyway, let's go to what happened last week. DeAndre Jordan, he really did do it. Last week we talked about him being a Maverick. He said, no, I ain't no Dallas Maverick. I don't want to play for no Mark Cuban. I want to play with Doc Rivers and his daughter.
First of all, I'm not going to feed into the whole narrative about his daughter persuaded him to come back to LA. I think good for DeAndre Jordan. You know what I mean? Rather than live with the regret of signing with Dallas, I know I understand he gave his word and everything, blase blah yah. But the reality is, A, he didn't sign a contract. B, a lot of people saying, well, there's an unwritten rule that if a player agrees to sign with a team that another team shouldn't pursue him. I think that's false. I don't believe in unwritten rules. You know, if it's meant to be a rule, then it'd be documented to be on the books. Doc Rivers and the rest of the Clippers contingent did what they needed to do, which was, look, he verbalized his doubt. They pounced on the opportunity to bring him back to L.A. where he's played his whole professional career. Nothing wrong with him. Now, granted, did it screw Dallas because he had verbally agreed that and, you know, said that he was going to come to Dallas? It did, but you do have the right to change your mind. The only thing I don't necessarily agree with what he did is if it's true that he was having constant communication with Mark Cuban for him not to, you know, when Mark Cuban was giving him calls, look, you know, he should have just had his representative, Dan Fagan, say, look, he should call Dan Fagan and been like, look, I'm considering changing my mind. You need to reach out to Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks organization and let them know because you're my agent. That's what you get paid the 4% out of my contract to do.
Like, okay, so this is the – I agree. One, I think in terms of the business move, it's the right move to make. You're going to Dallas, you wouldn't have been that successful. I don't care anybody. Like, he wouldn't have been as successful. Chris Paul ain't throwing you lobs anymore to get dunks. That's how you got a lot of your points. You can say that, yeah, I was a focal point, but you're going to lose. When Blake Griffin went down, I mean, I was able to score X, Y, Z. But that's because Chris Paul knew how to feed you in a high pick and roll. So you weren't going to get that in Dallas. Were you going to get that with Barea? No, you weren't going to get that with no Barea. That's hilarious. So in that regard, for a business move for him, he made the right decision. Now I changed my mind too for that alone. But if this is true, which I don't like about it, is that own it. If you change your mind, own it. So if Mark Cuban is calling you, just tell him. And he's calling you and you've been talking you've been communicating with him. If this is true, dude, just say, all right, I'm not sure if I made the right decision. I'm really leaning on going back to the Clippers. That's it. Own it. All my whole thing is own it. If that's true, own it. Because to me, I believe that is true. I think he didn't want to talk to Mark Cuban after the fact. He didn't communicate with him. And Mark Cuban was kind of, you know, he was scared. So that's why he flew out to Dallas. I mean, Houston, to try to talk to DeAndre Jordan. So obviously to me, he knew that it was getting quiet. He couldn't communicate with DeAndre Jordan. So he was like, all right, man, I need to go ahead and try to convince DeAndre Jordan to stay with what he told me. You know what I mean? Like for me, I'm all about a person being a man of your word. If you verbally tell me that, I'm good with it, I'm good or whatever. But if you did change your mind, at least be man enough or whatever to come to tell me like, all right, well, I'm not sure about it. I don't think I got you or whatever. Then I'm like, cool. But if I'm calling you If I'm trying to communicate with you and see what's up with whatever, and you are purposely not getting back at me or getting back to me, excuse me, then I got a problem. And I think that's not, now you're not being a man. You're not owning it. Own your decision. When you make a decision, right? You own it.
Right.
Exactly. When I own it. I'm not going to be like, all right, man, just look. Oh man, it's Cuban again, man. I ain't picking this phone up, man. Hey, just let that thing ring. Let it ring.
I got a, it was a funny picture that someone sent. It's of like a mock, it's like a Gmail account, and it has all these,
like G-chat stuff?
No, like a G, like email, like titles and headings and stuff like that. I'm gonna send it to you. It's hilarious. You guys,
it's about the situation.
Yeah, it's about the situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, send it to me.
It's hilarious. That's all.
And I like DeAndre Jordan. I'm a fan of him.
But you know, like you said, just own it. You know, if at a certain point he felt as if he made a mistake, he should have reached out to his representative. If he didn't want to talk to Mark Cuban,
then have somebody else talk to him.
Your representatives talk to him.
Exactly.
Because realistically, your representatives, that's what they get paid to do. He should have called Dan Fagan and told Dan Fagan, look, I'm really strongly considering changing my mind. Can you reach out to Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks brass and articulate that to me? If you're not going to be a man and answer the calls and own it, like you said. But there's a way of going about doing everything. I think no one would have really been upset.
Not at all.
If he had to let his agent take care of the business, but to just let, you know, and I don't know all the details, so I don't want to say, you know, participate in the hearsay, but you know, if Mark Cuban is continuously calling and texting you and you just avoiding his calls, that's not the way to go.
That's not doing business, man. That's just not right. That's not, truly told, like, I don't want to be all, if Cuban was calling him and he wasn't responding, that's a punk ass move. Sorry, I'm just being real. Like, that's what it is. If that did occur, if he just didn't pick up the phone and he decided, okay, I ain't picking the phone up. I told this dude, I gave him my word, but I don't want to talk to him. That's what it is to me.
I mean, but that's what we are in today's society.
Yeah, I mean, but then you tweet it out or something, like apologizing to Mark Cuban and the Dallas organization.
Nah, I mean,
that's what he did too. We have that with him.
Yeah, you have that with him. You call him first, and then, you know, you express your feelings, and then you go and do that.
On your social media, I'm saying.
Yeah, but just to not reach out to him, not to talk to him, you know,
that's something.
It is.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, so Mark Cuban has to see it on Twitter. That's hilarious.
That's today's society.
That's
man. Hilarious
to me. Anyway, let's go. Still the Dallas Mavericks. Deron Williams is rumored to be heading to Dallas after having his contract bought out by the Brooklyn Nets.
Dallas is where he should have been from the get-go.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that. He went to Brooklyn for the money. And when you chase the money, sometimes that's what happens to you. It's all about best situation and happiness. He's long stated that he always wanted to go back home and play basketball. Now he has the opportunity to. We know that Deron Williams is been in a slump, to say the least, for the past 2 years, dealing with
his play on court. Seems like it's been longer than that.
His play on the court and also with dealing with injuries. Going to Dallas. Dallas has a top flight training staff. You're going, like I said, Rick Carlisle to me is one of the better coaches in the NBA.
Yes, sir.
So he'll put you in a position. And then also, you don't necessarily have to carry all of the offensive load because you have Dirk Nowitzki.
Matthews.
You have Wesley Matthews. You'll say Chandler Parsons, but
yeah, Chandler Parsons, that's my dude. He's my dude.
He's definitely not to me. He's not a guy you build a team around.
Hey, we agree to disagree, buddy.
We definitely do. But I do think he's going to a franchise that has a better direction at this point than the Brooklyn Nets.
I just hope, you know, because I do like Deron Williams. I just hope the change of scenery will be good for his career. And maybe he can find his game again. Because what he had to offer, I never thought he was the quickest guard in the world or whatever, but I felt like on a pick and roll, he was a deadly player because he had a great mid range J. He was strong when he went to the basket because he was a physically imposing, point guard. So just hoping he gets that part back in his game. But again, he is playing with a good coach, which I do like. Rick Carlisle, to me, is one of the best coaches in basketball. He's not getting that. He doesn't get that much credit, but he is. He really is one of the best coaches in the game of basketball in the NBA. So, I like the move. I'm going back to Dallas. Still think Dallas needs a lot of other pieces to be a real contender in the West. Obviously, signing DeAndre Jordan was going to make them a contender anyway, in my opinion. But you know, losing Monte Ellis hurt. Wesley Matthews
and Tyson Chandler definitely.
Yeah, and Wesley Matthews is coming off an injury. It's not like we know what he's going to do anyway. And I don't look at Wesley Matthews as a guy that you can run offense for. So basically, you're going to put a lot of pressure on Deron Williams. I do think he's an upgrade from Rondo, though. I think he's an upgrade from Rajon Rondo. So
I think he's a far better offensive player than Rajon.
Yeah, exactly, Rondo. Exactly. Defensively, Rondo's a better player. I'm not even going to deny that because Rondo's a good defensive point guard. But I think offensively, Deron Williams is an upgrade to me. So I'm only looking at the offense because I feel like the Dallas Mavericks defense isn't good all the way anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. Speaking of Rondo, signed with Sacramento this year for one year for $10 million. What's going to be interesting to me is that locker room dynamic. You got Boogie Cousins, you got Willie Cauley-Stein, you got Rondo. Those are three guys that it's been documented have, to say the least, unique personalities.
Yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein's going to change his name to something I heard. Yeah, I haven't thought, yeah, I forgot what it was.
No, I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, but you, whole. Yeah, you're right.
I'm calling that, you Willie Cauley-Stein. Stein. That's what your mama called you. That's what your mama named you.
But I'm with you on that one. Go ahead, though.
So it's going to be interesting. Then you add in Rudy Gay, a guy who needs the ball in his hands. You look at Rondo, guys such as, you know, when he played with, they said one of the problems they played with, where Ray Allen had friction was because, you know, he wouldn't give him the ball in the spots that he wanted. Then you also look at the issue he had with Rick Carlisle in Dallas. Rick Carlisle wanted to get the ball up sometimes. We all know George Karl loves to space out the floor, share the ball, get it up in a hurry. So it's going to be interesting to see how this
George Karl still going to be the coach, though? They were trying to fire him and get Calipari.
But they were, too. I mean, unless you're going to pay him out, you know, that contract, I'm pretty sure, is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ooh. Oh, good God. See, it's my man Machado should be playing, starting at third base. Donaldson, you know, just had an error.
It's going to be interesting in Sacramento, to say the least, this upcoming season.
Yeah.
But, if Rondo can refer back to the form that we saw during those championship year. When they were making runs.
There you go.
When they were making runs to a championship in Boston, you potentially got a steal for $10 million. In today's NBA, the way the money is being dished out.
Yeah, if Rondo becomes a good point guard again, yes, I agree. But, you know, Rondo hasn't been a good point guard since Ray Allen and Paul Pierce decided to leave Boston. So I always, you know, like I've been saying anyway, that Rondo was good because those other individuals, those Hall of Famers that he played with, were allowed him to look a particular way. Yeah, I've always stated it. And yeah, you can pull up the old urban sports scene shows. Listen, I've been stating this. I'm very consistent.
We know that you're not a fan of Rajon.
Yeah, and I was boosted when he went to Dallas and failed. And I'm boosted that now the whole league sees him as for who he is. And now he's in Sacramento for cheap. A guy that everybody thought he was a top five point guard had to go to Sacramento for damn near cheap because he wasn't as
– $10 million is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, it's not, but it's still not good for an elite point guard. You know what I mean? I'm glad that John Wall, folks proved me right to saying John Wall is a – like I said, John Wall is a way better point guard than Rondo. And he's showing the world that he is. And also Rondo was showing the world that Paul Pierce, Ray Allen was more important than him. And also – Ray Allen, if I'm Ray Allen, I'm retired. I'm laughing at Rajon Rondo. For everything I did tell him while he was on the team, I was like, dude, it was for me. For us, you wouldn't be anything. I think Ray Allen feels good about himself, too, at the same time. That was reported that Ray Allen said that, too. It's not a fact. It was reported.
Okay.
So, again, Rajon Rondo, good luck to you, man. Wish you the best in Sacramento. Boobie Cousins.
No, you don't.
Don't make sure Boobie Cousins put his hands on you. He tends to fight his teammates.
It's going to be interesting. Like I said, I'm definitely want to see how this plays out in Sacramento with the coaching, with the style of play, then also the various pieces that they have.
You had, like I said, you have a valid point. Like, there's a lot of characters. I didn't even think about that. Especially the book. Like, I'm like Pauly Stein. He's just coming into the NBA, but he has been known to be weird. So I always think rookies don't come in all with their chest out trying to, you know, flex. But you got Rondo and Cousins. That's going to be interesting because, you know, Rondo is quirky. Cousins ain't taking no BS, and he's very immature in his own way. So just to see how that works out, because Rondo thinks of himself as a leader. So it's going to be – I'm interested to see how that works out.
Me too.
There'll probably be a couple fights in the locker room.
I don't know. Maybe it works out for – you know, maybe there are no –
Yeah, but George Karl too.
Yeah, especially with that relationship George Karl has with
Cousins already.
Marcus Cousins right now. So
yeah, it's dicey.
Yeah.
Very dicey.
But let's talk about OKC. They matched the Portland Trail Blazers' offer for Enes Kanter to bring him back into the fold. First of all, my first thought is this is a talented and pretty deep team, you know, with Enes Kanter. Then you also add on top of that the drafting of Cameron Payne out of Murray State.
Yeah, folks like him. That's a good pick.
Then, you know, you still have DJ Augustine.
Yeah, good backup. And he has a relationship already with Kevin Durant. He didn't get a chance to play with him. They both played in Texas together.
Yep.
So. Are you okay? You good?
Yeah, nah.
You good? Okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll be having those moments too.
My bedtime.
I feel you. I had the moments too.
So, you know, this is a deep team. But I think one thing that I think anyone's bringing up or hasn't mentioned, about 3 years, you know, now with this signing, this takes them way over the luxury tax. About 3 years ago.
Say it.
What? No, there was an opportunity for you to bring in a guy, to retain
a guy. Retain a guy, yes, sir.
who's gone on to be the...
A stud,
the number one two guard in the league. But you didn't want to give him the max 5 years. What was it? 5 years, 80 million at the time?
Yeah, 5 years, 80. That was all it was.
You think about it in retrospect, for what you didn't want to pay then, mm-hmm. you're paying now to Enes Kanter. So let me ask you the question.
Go ask.
Knowing what? Everything you know.
Yes.
And we all know hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
Do you think that it was in the best interest for the OKC, for the Thunder, to not pay James Harden, trade him to Houston? Or do you think are they better off signing Enes Kanter to this 4 year?
It wasn't a sign and trade, was it?
It was a sign and trade.
It was a sign and trade, that's what it was?
Mm-hmm. They got Lamb.
Sorry, you're right.
They got Lamb and they got a first round
you're right.
pick.
The
first
I apologize.
Round pick ended up being what
is it, Adams?
Steven Adams.
It was a bad move. I always said they were better off letting Ibaka go over James Harden at the time. I mean, they already paid. I was like, I don't know why you're paying Ibaka. You should have used that money for James Harden. James Harden, you knew that was one of the more dominant scorers, even off the bench. When you prorated stats, I'm all about prorating stats and what he was doing on the bench. If you gave him 30 minutes, consistent 30, 35, because he really wasn't even getting 25. He was getting 25 minutes. He really wasn't getting 30, 35 plus minutes. He would get like 25, 30. But, you know, a scorer like him, if you gave him starters, real starters minutes, he's getting 20 easy. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting 20 easy. But I think, in my opinion, I feel like they learned from that situation, and that's why they paid Enes Kanter. They went over the luxury tax because you're like, okay, well, we let a young guy. You see what he's doing in Houston. He darn near carried his team to the Western Conference Finals. You know what I mean? We got a guy in Enes Kanter who's a post player, very young, shows so much promise. Now, we compare that with Kevin Durant, Westbrook. So I felt like they learned from that situation. Enes Kanter is not going to be a James Harden, but he can be, in my opinion, if they feature him correctly, he can be an all-star caliber big. I really believe it.
Yeah,
because he's better than offensively, he's better than Ibaka.
Yeah, he is. I think anyone who's seen, you know, Enes Kanter, he played in Utah. Utah didn't get a lot of national games, but anyone who saw him play in Utah, then especially saw him play in OKC after the trade, knows that this guy has skills. Really good on the pick and pop, pick and roll, back to the basket, can score from either block. So the talent is there. But now, with Billy Donovan, this being your first year, how do you integrate him in the offense where Russell Westbrook is going to dominate the ball.
Yeah, he's going to dominate the ball.
Kevin Durant.
It's going to dominate.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Where does Enes Kanter come in? We all know Serge Ibaka at this point is a spot-up three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's a pick-and-pop player, spot-up three-point shooter.
So, you know, where does Enes Kanter fit for $15 million a year?
Well, it's a good situation to have, in my opinion, because, you know, all right, so jump shots don't fall all the time in postseason play. So when Kevin Durant can't, his J is off, or Westbrook's J is off, you do have an option to have Enes Kanter go in a block, do that work. And he can do that work. He can do the dirty work down low. And then also, he can do the dirty work down low. That don't sound right either.
Sound right.
No, it doesn't. And then, I mean, and it's a blessing that Ibaka is a space player in terms of being a big. So the block isn't cluttered. So you do have, he has room to operate. If you look at the pieces for what it is, Kanter at the five, I guess Ibaka at the five, interchangeable.
Kanter's going to be at the five.
All right. Kanter at the five, Ibaka at the four, right? You have Durant at the three, Westbrook at the one, and I guess you can have whoever at the two.
Robertson.
Probably be Robertson, because it won't be Waiters anymore. So you'll have that situation, right? You have spacing, and you may want another big. You may want somebody else on the Robertson, because he has no spacing as a shooter. You may need a defensive player.
He's like.
You need a defensive player who can actually shoot the ball.
He was with Cephalosha.
Exactly. But Billy Donovan, don't get twisted. Billy Donovan is a different coach. He's not Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks, that's the way Scott Brooks liked his lineup. Billy Donovan may want more of an offensive player in that situation. He may want it.
What's interesting is maybe they go with Steven Adams to start. Steven Adams is a really good defensive center. Maybe he starts in Enes Kanter and Deion Waiters come off the bench.
For 70? No. Not for 70.
I mean, but you know,
you're right. It's a thought, but not for 70. I would have thought that if he got lower than 70.
But to me, I've always said that this team won't make it over the hump until you get an actual point guard and take the ball out of Russell Westbrook's hands every possession.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, until that happens, I don't see this team winning a championship. When you get a point guard that's actually a distributor who makes Russell Westbrook work less on the offensive end by not having to bring the ball up, it will actually dictate the flow of the offense.
You'll
be better off.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. We'll spill again. Playing Russell Westbrook playing at like the two position. Yeah.
Where he actually should be playing.
Yeah, he should play the two position. I agree with that. Totally agree with that. But anyway, we're about time to wrap this show up. It's been a blessing to do this show. It's the Urban Sport. You've been listening to the Urban Sports thing. It's been a blessing to do this show, obviously,
been
all the time.
With the best.
Yes. With the best, my man. Yeah, the best. We'll see.
Yeah,
I swear to you, the best, man.
Yeah, it's been an honor, pleasure, and a blessing, you know, with sports fans just like everyone else. I say this every week.
You do, but it's such a good wrap-up.
We appreciate everyone taking the time out of whether you listen to us live or you listen to on the podcast, listen to on a website, or even through the BDSIR network. You know, we appreciate you listening to us, and we'll holler at you next time.
Yeah, real quick though, before we wrap the show and be gone for the day, Don McNabb, man.
Yeah, did you listen to the audio?
Yeah, I heard. I couldn't get the soundbite for here. I wanted to. Maybe I'll bring it for next show.
Yeah,
Donovan,
what are you doing, bro?
What are you doing? Cough drops, buddy.
Cough drops.
That's a good try.
You think about it, man. Just think about the reversal of fortunes, man. Think, what was it, 5-6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
When he was in DC, when he came here, you know, he was meeting with all of these executives. He thought that DC was going to be the place where he set up shop.
Yeah.
For after his career, and not only, you know, establish himself being the kind of the guy that brings this area's football team, resurrect his fortunes,
mm-hmm.
but was going to establish himself as a business in this area. And, you know, things change. You know, I wish him the best in this case, but it looks like you're going to be doing some time, Donovan.
Yeah, don't look good. Fox Sports done for you. Unfortunately, Donovan McNabb. I like Donovan McNabb. I feel bad for him. Anyway, you can listen to us by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.popping.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to us. It's been a blessing. My man Will T. spit that knowledge, that good boxing 101 too. miss that boxing talk, man. Will, I get educated when I'm talking to Will about boxing. I really do.
I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Anyway, man, peace. We out. Mega, lead us out, homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.